sun, the bright sun, a precious cornerstone in heaven beneath, shall not make hay.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one-world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, well, well. Are you a lizard tongue woman? We're going to continue to examine that phraseology. We're continuing from the last broadcast. Do you realize that there is a female lizard? It's called the American lizard. It's called the side-blotched lizard. And it's the most common lizard in the United States of America, around the west side of the United States, that is. And it is a domineering, bossy lizard. In fact, they say she selects her many mates, the size where they'll live, and even determines if they will have sons or daughters. How about that? Virtually every element of the mating and reproducing cycle of the small American lizard is controlled by the female's choices. And they say this is the ultimate example of a female having her cake and eating it too. Are you like this? Are you a lizard tongue woman? I hope you're not. Now, the Bible says a lot about it. We're going to continue looking at this because I believe that these kinds of domineering women are at least some of the cause why our society is declining morally speaking. That's right. It is declining morally. And if you are a lizard-tongued woman, you're part of the whole problem. Some of you don't believe what I'm saying about that lizard tongue, that American lizard. Well, it was reported in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So they evidently have verified there is such a creature. And, there are women, wives, mothers, grandmothers, in-laws and outlaws, just like this kind of lizard. They fulfill these aspects. And I tell you what, that's not the way God created a woman to be. When a woman knows her place, then everything works out fine. And the Bible talks about these loud, bossy women, bossy wives, bobbed hair, strange women. The Bible has a lot to say about that. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 5 to 27, the Bible says that they may keep thee from the strange women, woman from the stranger which flattereth with the words. You see, when a person's submitted to God and following the ways of righteousness, the wisdom of God will keep such a one from a strange woman. What is a strange woman? Well, the Bible characterizes her as a woman that flatters with her mouth. She flattereth with her words. And this is a woman you got to watch out for. And the Bible says, for at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. So this strange woman dresses like a harlot, and she has a subtle heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Now you see, the model role for a wife is to be a keeper at the house and not being out there in the secular world working with other men anyhow. The fact of the matter is she's to dress modestly. A godly woman, that is, will dress modestly, and she'll not put on a wardrobe that is provocative, sexually seductive. But this strange woman here, she has the attire of a harlot. She is loud and stubborn. Nothing like a loud-mouthed woman. The Bible says she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows? Yeah, she sure paid her vows, all right. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. Well, my question is, what were you doing there in that place anyhow, so that she could catch you? You remember the true story of Joseph. Of course, he was there, and we know the story there of that woman, that wife who caught her, and he fled away. And the Bible says, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. See, she's seductive. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. And she says, come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. And see, when you're going out and reading those romance novels, that's right, ladies, you're reading those romance novels, you know what it's doing to you? It's corrupting you. And so is the fascination and the thinking of men who engage themselves in immoral conduct. And she goes on to say here, for the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Evidently, this wife, this harlot, she definitely doesn't have a good marriage. For a much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Now, I'm assuming when I say this, but evidently the good man wasn't very good at all, because he obviously did not meet the needs of his wife. She became a harlot. Somewhere along the line, he blew it. Perhaps he himself was unfaithful. Does that characterize you at all? Do you have a loud mouth, lady? Wife, are you stubborn? Are you so busy with your career You don't have enough time to take care of your kids or raise your kids. You don't even have enough time to be a wife, let alone be a godly woman. You say, why am I bringing all this up? Because this is part of our decline, moral decline in our country. It's a part of the apostasy among the churches. It's part of the last days. Perilous times shall come. And it's here, folks. He says, the Bible says here, he goeth after a straight way as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock. So before you go the way of a strange woman, you better watch out. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, all ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Should I name you a few? Samson, Solomon. That's right. Good men of God. Good men of God going in the way of strange women. Corrupted them, turned them into idolaters. And turned them into serving other gods rather than the living God. But watch out for those strange women. Now here's the thing. We are making our youth to dress like strange women. Our ladies are no longer ladies. They're wearing these tight pants, these shorts, these tank tops, short sleeve, tight dresses, provocative, all that seductive stuff. They're cutting their hair. They're painting their hair. I mean, they're dyeing their hair. They're piercing their noses, their ears, all kinds of places on their body. I'm telling you, folks, we're going back to the heathen culture. That's right. Instead of turning back to God, we're turning our youth back to the heathen way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you guilty of this? Are you letting your kids look like the world, dress like the world, and behave like the world? Well, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 and 19, the Bible says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of a youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. That's right, you let your daughter, you got to be absolutely insane. You let your daughter go out at night by herself or even with friends without your supervision. You know what? You are nuts. You know, you can't trust the flesh as far as you can throw it. You expect them to behave themselves. You're nuts. She forsakes, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. They say over 50% of girls that reach the age of 12 have lost their virginity. They say that over 50% of pregnancies is a result of promiscuity. You know who's at fault? You, the parent, have forced your children to be part of a godless society. You ought to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You ought to train up a child in the way they should go. And the Bible says if you do so, when they get older, they'll not depart from it. But evidently you failed. So you know what you need to do? Mama, dad, grandpa, grandmother. That's right. It all starts with them. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to get right with God. You need to confess it as sin, neglect. You know, they ought to call that child abuse, letting your children be in the world and engage themselves in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. That ought to be child abuse. The Bible says this strange woman, which, by the way, you're teaching your daughter to dress like a harlot even now. That's right. See-through dresses and all kinds of seductive wardrobe. You start them out young. You expose them to television, to Hollywood and Hollyweird. And all this ungodly programs on there, You let them see all that junk, and then you expect them to love God. Not going to work, folks. It's not going to work. This strange woman, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Well, what about it? Titus chapter 2, verse 2 to 5 says that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things. And here's the reason, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Oh, man, is that a forgotten virtue? Most of the women today, most of the wives are working. That's right. You say, well, how am I going to make a living if I don't send my wife to work? Well, if you want to expand the well-being of your children, then go ahead. But if you want to raise your children the way they ought to be raised, you got to have mama at home. To be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Yeah, well, one of the reasons why our wives are not submissive, because they learn how to be domineering out there in the workplace. They're put in positions of leadership, and it's no wonder. And the Bible says they ought to be obedient to their own husbands. Oh, I don't think I don't think the women's livers like to hear that. No, no. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a God-fearing, Bible-believing, redeemed, born-againer. And you are blaspheming the word of God by sending your wives to the workplace and teaching them to dress like the world. You know, when they came up with these slits, I often ask myself a question, why does everybody start wearing this stuff? Well, that's the fashion of today. Well, what you need to do is, lady, listen, you need to learn how to sew. That's what the old-time women did. That's right, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behaviors that come of holiness. What you need to do is get a dress that's not so tight. That's why they put those slits in there, because they can't even walk in them. Oh, I know you have a rebellious heart. You don't like listening to stuff like this. Hey, this is the old-time way. You know, 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have to preach about all this stuff. But what's happened is worldliness has crept into God's people, has crept in the local churches, and has crept in our way of life. And we're allowing it to come into our life like a steamroller. Now, God's not going to put up with it very much. God will judge it, just like he judged it in the day of Israel in the Old Testament time, and just like he will judge it in modern day Israel. Now, I'm for Israel. I'm behind Israel. That's exactly right. But I'll tell you what, when I was in Israel, been a couple of years ago, I'd never seen such a loose society in all my life. You know where they learned it from? America, Europe. Of course, many of the Jewish families immigrate to Israel. They bring all that looseness and wantonness and lasciviousness. Do you know there's an epidemic of prostitution in Israel? This is supposed to be a God-fearing country. They need to turn their hearts back to God and forsake their wicked way. I'm not going to excuse their immorality just because they are the apple of God's eye. The way they're going to get right with God and recognize who their Messiah really is, they're going to have to repent of their wickedness. That's right. And God rebuked it in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 and 24. Now, if you are listening to this in the land of Israel, you need to listen to this. This is one reason why God has withheld much of his blessing on that country. He wants to pour out a blessing, but you are living so wickedly and so ungodly. Have you have turned against the living and true God? How do you expect him to bless you? We need to get right back to the Bible, the Tanakh, the New Covenant, Brit Chadashah. We need to get back to the Scriptures if we expect for God to bless us. This not only goes for Israel, it goes for America, it goes for Europe, and it goes for all those heathen countries. It goes for all the Arab countries. Hey, listen, they need to turn back to God. They need to go back to the Scriptures and follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob instead of their false gods. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16, 24, the Bible says, Moreover, the Lord saith, Because of the daughters of Zion are haughty, they're proud, you see, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Bible says, Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their galls, and their round tires like the moon, the chains, and the bracelets, and the mufflers, the bonnets, and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings, the rings, and nose jewels. See, they were dressing like the heathen back in the days of Isaiah the prophet. The changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, because we call it by different names today, the glasses, and the fine linen, the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Well, this is a rebuke by Almighty God, the same Almighty God. He's not changed, and he feels the same way about the lewdness of our lifestyle. That's right. Are you willing to forsake your wicked way? Are you willing to forsake your wicked way? The Bible says a nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. Now, I've given you the facts. I've given you the Bible. That's the facts. Now, the Bible says you can do nothing against the truth before it. So what are you going to do about the truth? You're going to rebel? You're going to be stubborn? Yeah, I hope that you've learned some things. I really do. Because you know who's going to suffer if you don't learn? Our children, the next generation, if we live to see that day. Now, the moral decline of our society can be seen all throughout the world. Do you know that in Germany, grants labor rights to prostitutes? Germany's estimated 400,000 prostitutes. Can you believe that? That is sick. We'll get new rights to health insurance and state pensions under the law. Under a law that takes effect, and they also will have the right to sue, and their services will no longer be described as immoral in the law books. Prostitution is not illegal in Germany. Pimping is illegal. I'm going to tell you one thing. That's a immoral, godless society. Prostitution is immoral. And you think God's going to bless a country like that? You got to be joking. This and the American Lizard reported in USA Today. Now, we sure are thankful that you're listening to Hope Israel Baptist broadcast. If you want to get the facts, you've turned to the right station with the right program. And there's more to come, so don't leave. We got a whole bunch more coming your way. The news courtesy of Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world, and we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. Okay, now, this is Dr. K. Daniel Fried. I'm so glad that you continue to stay with us for the last half of this broadcast, we're going to look at and examine a very controversial subject, and the subject is, who is a real Jew? I will read some articles from the various newspapers and magazines that are put out from Israel on this subject, and it is actually based on a few happenings, recently, within the last couple years. They are going through right now a difficult time determining exactly who a Jew is, because there's so many variables and variations, and Jews from all around the world. Some are Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, Hasidic, Sephardic, Ashkenazic. There's all kinds of different Jews. And there's Messianic Jews, too, by the way. There are Jews who believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And how come they're not considered Jews, or are they? I mean, so we're going to look at this issue. And I want to begin reading from an article in the Jerusalem Report, rather the Jerusalem Post, and then the Jerusalem Report after that. And the title is, If I Am Not a Jew, Who Is? Staff Sergeant Michael Oxman managed to spark controversy from the grave, or rather, it was the placement of his grave that first set the debate going. Oxman, one of the six soldiers killed in an attack on Ian Iraq roadblock near Ramallah, is the son of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. He immigrated to Israel on the Nalip program for Soviet youth in 1995 and has the dubious distinction of being the first Nalip graduate to die in Army service. The controversy didn't begin until after his death, when the Army announced he was to be buried in a non-Jewish section of the Haifa Military Cemetery. Oxman was not Jewish according to the Orthodox Jewish law, which prohibits Jews and non-Jews from being buried together. The Army did provide a religious funeral upon the request of Oxman's father. So as you can see, there is great controversy in Israel over the case of who is a real Jew. In the Jerusalem Report, some time ago, an article titled, A Tiny Step Closer. The conservative reform movements have won a minor battle in their conversion struggle, that war goes on. Aura and Michael Megan, secular Israeli Jews in their mid-40s, stood before a clerk on the second floor of the Interior Ministry's Jerusalem office with a file of documents tucked under Aura's arm and a battery of lawyers, reporters, and TV crews in tow. The Megans had come to register Tal, their adopted Guatemalan-born six-year-old daughter, who was converted to Judaism by a Reform religious court in London in 1996 as a Jew in the population registry. 5 days earlier, Israel's Supreme Court had moved just a bit closer than ever before to forcing the state to recognize non-Orthodox denominations of Judaism. After years of deliberations, a panel of 11 Supreme Court judges reached a landmark 10-1 ruling that Israeli citizens who have converted in non-Orthodox ceremonies abroad or in Israel must now be listed as Jews in the population registry. Within Judaism, there are different denominations, wrote Chief Justice Aaron Barak in a crucial passage of the decision. The ministry's clerks, the judgment went on, may no longer act as judges and maintain their policy of questioning the applicant as to where he or she converted, and then denying or approving registry as Jews. No longer may converts be listed as having no religious or nationality, or as members of other faiths or nationalities. Instead, officials must promptly register citizens who are non-Orthodox converts as Jews. Says Uri Regev, the Reform rabbi and attorney who originally filed the petition, the court is asserting that, legally speaking, this is not the state of the Jewish religion, but of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are composed of several denominations, and each must be accepted and respected. Being registered as a Jew is psychologically and socially significant, but it doesn't help a convert in dealing with the rest of Israeli population social life. And the court explicitly limited its ruling to the registration issue, leading some legal experts and civil rights activists to voice harsh criticism. At the same time, any state recognition of non-Orthodox Judaism is a bitter pill for the Orthodox establishment. The ruling was a result of a series of lawsuits brought by Naamat, the Women's Organization of the Labor Federation, and the conservative reform movements on behalf of some two dozen Israeli converts, including Tal Megan. Court watchers believe the ultra-Orthodox Sephardi Shas Party has only itself to blame for the new court decision. Until 1996, the Interior Ministry regularly accepted non-Orthodox foreign conversions when deciding who would be listed as a Jew in the registry. This was based on a 1970 amendment to the Population Registry that for the purpose of registration alone defines a Jew as a person born of Jewish mother or who has been converted and is no longer a member of another faith. Just what sort of conversion was deliberately left vague. Just as it was when the law return was amended at the same time, it later was defined in 1989 Supreme Court ruling as a conversion performed by a recognized Jewish community abroad. But in the late 1996, when the Megans came to register Tal as a citizen just after adopting her, they found things had changed. Under Shas control, apparently seeking to stop registration of non-Orthodox conversions, the ministry had issued new administrative orders stating that a person converted in a non-Orthodox ceremony abroad now has to be integrated into the converting congregation. The change soon received the legal blessings of then Attorney General Eliakim Rubinstein. In other words, if the Megans wanted to convert their daughter in a Reform London religious court, that was fine. Only little Tal would now have to grow up in England or still be considered a non-Jew in Israel. To no one's surprise, the decision has raised the hackles of the Orthodox establishment, which opposes any recognition of non-Orthodox denominations. Yet the ruling does not make it easier to obtain Israeli citizenship under the law of return. It does not, for example, help some 14 non-Orthodox converts, all living in Israel, who have petitioned the court to be accepted as immigrants and still await a ruling. The group includes a Colombian man who moved to Israel in 1991 to work as an aide to an elderly Orthodox man, was attracted to Judaism, studied in a Reform religious school in Ramat Gan, and returned to South America where he was converted by a non-Orthodox religious court. It also includes a Russian woman who came to Israel to be closer to her daughter married to an Israeli and who then mastered Hebrew, returned to Russia as a Jewish agency, Hebrew teacher, studied Judaism, and eventually converted in a Reform ceremony in Russia. Nor does the new ruling force the Orthodox chief rabbis to recognize non-Orthodox conversions. As a consequence, the non-Orthodox convert, even once registered as a Jew, cannot marry in Israel, where the rabbis have control on Jewish marriage. All right, thank you so much for that article by Nettie Cross, Jerusalem Report. Now, another one, written by David Ellison in the Viewpoint Jerusalem Report, titled On Conversion, Jewish Law Has Many Voices. Even in the midst of Israel's current security crisis, an intra-Jewish battle over the definition of Jewish identity is brewing. The Israeli Supreme Court ruled that Interior Ministry is required to register people converted to Judaism by Reform and Conservative Rabbinical Courts in Israel's Jews. Undoubtedly, the Who's a Jew debate, which has roiled the Jewish world for over a decade, is destined once again to be a focal point of division among Jews and Jewish religious denominations of both Israel and the diaspora. In an article by Avi Shafran implied that there is a monolithic Orthodox position on Jewish identity and conversion, and that the Halakha speaks with single voice. He argued that the state of Israel should prefer this voice over the stances advanced by the liberal Jewish movements on the grounds that only a single standard for personal status issues can maintain the social cohesiveness necessary for the Jewish state's future. The standard that the Israeli Orthodox establishment puts forth on conversion and Jewish identity does tend to be monolithic. It is generally stringent, based on an uncompromising assertion that Jewish law requires a pledge to observe all 613 commandments as a prerequisite for conversion. And may I just add a little bit there, there's only been one Jew who's ever lived who's observed all 613 commandments, and that Jew was Jesus Christ himself. For the Bible says he came not to break the law, but to fulfill it. All right? But he goes on to say here that in the case of Gentile children adopted by non-observant Jewish parents, conversion is also denied on the grounds that such children, inasmuch as they will be raised in non-observant homes, are unlikely to be observant. Finally, the Orthodox rabbis who champion such positions generally assert that conversion for an ulterior motive, such as marriage to a Jew, precludes acceptance into the Jewish community. While there are unquestionably grounds in Jewish law for these rulings, they hardly exhaust the range of this rabbinical opinion. On the contrary, Jewish law speaks in multiple authentic voices, even within the Orthodox camp. On these issues, and the Jewish public should be aware of this. For example, the legal writings of Orthodox Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, 1843 to 1921, who was head of the Orthodox Rabbinical Seminary of Berlin and the greatest traditional Jewish legal authority of his time and place, present a completely different approach. In his writings, Rabbi Hoffman employed lenient proceedings in Jewish law as warrants for a relaxed stance on intermarriage and conversion, a stance he considered better suited to meet the challenges of Jewish peoplehood in the modern world. In the case of conversion prompted by a desire to marry a Jew, Rabbi Hoffman noted that two Talmudic masters, Hillel and Rabbi Chaya, approved conversions in cases where Gentiles had ulterior motives. Indeed, these precedents give rise to a rabbinic principle. All depends upon the judgment of the rabbinic court, granting wide latitude to rabbinic authorities as they struggle to resolve these questions in an authentic and humane Jewish manner. This Rabbi Hoffman used this principle to allow non-Jewish partners of Jewish men and women to convert to Judaism, even when it appeared that they would not observe every stricture of Jewish law. In an age and setting where social relationships between Jews and Gentiles were common, he believed it was in the Jewish community's interest to permit their conversions, as such an embrace would keep their Jewish partners and their procreation, their children, within the Jewish fold. Other modern Orthodox figures, such as Eastern European Rabbi David Horowitz and the great first Israeli Sephardi Chief Rabbi Ben Zion, Meir Haziel, issued identical opinions. Furthermore, rabbis such as Marcus Haravitz of Frankfurt and Hirsch Kalitcher of Thorn asserted that the conversion of infants born to non-Jewish mothers and Jewish fathers into Judaism was a commandment imposed upon the rabbinic court, even in instances where it was unlikely that such children would become observant Jewish adults. As Rabbi Kalischer, one of the great forerunners of religious Zionism, phrased it in an 1862 memo, perhaps great religious leaders will spring from among them. These sources indicate that there is hardly a single standard that Jewish law puts forth on the matter of conversion and Jewish identity. Jewish law here, as in so many other areas, is flexible. The Orthodox establishment ought to be at least intellectually and religiously honest enough to admit that there is no monolithic standard of Jewish law that keeps the state rabbinate from adopting a less exclusive posture. Its current stance is not demanded by Jewish law, but reflects a sociological judgment that privileges stringent rulings as the best way to preserve Jewish tradition in an age of widespread non-observance. Well, this, of course, is a viewpoint, and is a viewpoint of many, many Jewish people throughout the world. Now, we want to get into what the Bible has to say about it. Now, a believer, a Jewish believer in the Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, some years ago, A.B. Machlin, also addressed this question, are you a real Jew? Now, there's no way I'm going to get to finish this. We'll have to continue the next broadcast, but for the next 4 minutes, I'm going to show you from a biblical point of view exactly what qualifies a Jew to be a Jew. First of all, they say, I am circumcised. The first reply which would come to your mind, no doubt, would be, yes, I am circumcised, because you had been circumcised. For you say, was not Abraham the first Hebrew? Is he not the father of the Hebrew race? Did not God command him to be circumcised and all his seed after him? Then sing, I have had this ordinance performed. Does it not necessarily follow that I am a Hebrew? Possibly. This may seem so to you, dear friend, but let us see if this is a sufficient answer from the scriptures. I'd really ascertain if you have followed God's own law concerning this rite of circumcision. Gentiles also were circumcised. You must remember that when the Lord gave to Abraham this sacred ordinance, he told him that everybody in his house, whether of his own flesh or bought with his money, was to have this ordinance performed upon him. There was to be no difference. So Abraham immediately obeyed the word of God and circumcised all his household, Ishmael his son, and everyone else in his family. Isaac at this time was not yet born. Because they were then circumcised, it did not follow that they were Hebrews. The mere fact of this being done did not constitute them the children of Abraham. For you remember that when the Lord appeared to Abraham and promised him seed to inherit all that he possessed, Abraham asked the Lord that Ishmael might live before him. But no, God said that another should come from Sarai, and this child should be the possessor and heir of Abraham. And some Jews were uncircumcised. That's right. But there is another thing to bear in mind while considering the subject of circumcision. There was a time when the whole nation of Israel for 40 years never had a single child circumcised. You remember that after the second year of sojourn in the wilderness, the Lord told Moses to send up 12 spies at the request of the people to investigate the promised land. The spies went and returned. They came back with some of the fruit of the country and told the people what a goodly land it was. Instead of continuing their good report to the people, 10 of them finished with a very dark picture and thus discouraged all the people. There were 2, however, who told the multitudes that they could go up and take the land. For the Lord had delivered it into their hands, but the report of the 10 prevailed. The whole of the next night, the entire encampment of the children of Israel wept, mourned, and murmured against Moses and the Lord, and were ready to stone the two spies who had brought back a good report. The result was that the next day the Lord told Moses he had granted the request of the people. They should not reach the promised land. They should die in their sins in the wilderness. Their carcasses should fall by the way, but their children that they said should perish, the Lord said he would bring into the land with their wives. How about that? From that time forward, there was not a male child circumcised in the wilderness for over 38 years. This rite of circumcision was not performed. What then would you call the people during this time? Would it indicate that they were not Hebrews, since you say that the reason you are a Hebrew is that you have been circumcised? Huh. You no doubt will say, however, the reason these people were not circumcised was because of the sin of their fathers committed, as the Lord says in His Word. Very good. Then that shows clearly that sin in the heart of the people makes circumcision ineffective. In itself, circumcision is no proof of being a Hebrew. And finally, what is true circumcision? Well, we'll get into that further in our next broadcast. Now, stay with us for some announcements and offerings of free literature.
Keep His covenant and show His mercy unto Thy servant that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or P-O-W-D-E-R-S-P-R-I-N-G-S, Georgia, or G-A, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.